Great. Okay. Acts 1:8 says, "For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we want to pray for Pete, who is going kind of to the ends of the earth in terms of it being either his Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the ends of the earth. On Tuesday, he's going to go off to Kenya. Just before I ask him what he'd like us to pray for him, I want to give you just a little bit of a snapshot of when Pete visited the missions team, maybe 2 months ago. And Pete came along and maybe just for 20 minutes spoke about his heart for the project in Kenawagi. Did I say it right? Good. I think the summary that I heard from Pete was we have been able, as a church with others, but we've been able to invest in 25-ish lives over a period of number of years. And it's been a roller coaster. And Pete has been used by the Lord. He'll hate me saying this, but Pete has been used by the Lord to kind of bring stability and get this thing really in a good flow in the last couple of years. And I think that's probably what he's going to be doing more of. We're going to find out in a minute. But one of the things that I loved about what Pete shared was, Pete was basically saying, this project won't go on forever. And actually, most projects don't go on forever. The Lord is eternal. But actually, most things that we do, there's a time limit to them, the same as there is with our lives. And I think what Pete was really sharing with the missions team was, we've got 5 years. Let's end brilliantly. Let's finish the race well with these 25 lives. They're not going to be taking in new children to the school. But wouldn't it be an amazing testimony to the Lord if we finished the race well with this project as a church? And I feel really excited about that. You might think that's a bit odd, because normally we get excited about new things starting, don't we? I love the thought of Pete giving a lead and the rest of us saying, we're going to finish well with this part of what it means to be a world-reaching church. So I just wanted to honour you in that, Pete. I think you're doing an amazing job. And now I want to ask you what you're going to be doing and what we can pray for you.
Okay, probably it'd be helpful. There's a picture in my mind I can't get out of my mind. It'd probably be helpful just to explain that when I booked my flights, I'm going to be over there for 10 days. I'm actually leaving the UK tomorrow evening. It was a bit uncertain what I was going to be doing over there. Usually there are some issues and some good things expected to do. And if you imagine an old set of scales that you put weights on, it's sort of imbalance. And as my planning went forward, you know, little weights were being put on the good side, you know, good things that I'd be able to fit in and do, visiting schools and stuff like that. Talk about a roller coaster. A little while ago, week before last, it was as if a pound weight was suddenly put on the other side of the scale. An issue arose that was that significant in terms of a few ounces on one and the other. But I just want, as a testimony, I just want to say that although that's is something significant that needs to be dealt with, over the last week or so, God has been working and has been putting weights on the other side to lessen the load. And then from this morning, with the encouragement from Linda as well, when we've got problems and issues, we're encouraged to hand them over to God. It may not just be problems and issues, but this was one that came to my mind, that as I go over there, there are some good things which I'm going to be doing, and some good people that I'm going to be meeting, but there are also going to be some big challenges, and it's easy to feel burdened by all of that, and it was an encouragement this morning to just give it to the Lord, because he needs to be in it. One of the plans is for the purpose of the trip, one of the things certainly was to be looking at planning for the future and making links with organisations that may be able to help us when we come to a point of transition. Not sure when that will be happening. So the sort of things I'd like you to pray for, the normal things about the travel and safety and things like that, but a real sense of wisdom in some of the conversations that I have, some of which may be difficult, a sense of God's timing in terms of the order that things need to be done in, some really good interactions with some of the Christians, the very few Christians that I know and trust in the area and there, but that those interactions will be good, and that God will show us as a UK committee for the charity the priorities and the direction to go forward.
Okay. Got some of those things in your head that Pete's just mentioned in that last sentence to pray for. It's not flattery, but I would say I can't think of anybody better, certainly from our church, to bring wise analysis of a situation. And so even if it wasn't Pete's project, it's the kind of thing you think, let's send Pete. So it kind of feels like a good fit, doesn't it? Pete going out to some complex issues, some big things, to bring wisdom and the ability to analyse well. And can we get Pete in the middle? You've been sat down long enough, at least 5 minutes since we stopped singing. Could we just gather around Pete, and as many as would like to just lay hands on him? Pete, just one more time, just echo those three things that you said at the end to pray for. Just a test to see if you remember.
Wisdom, sense of God's timing, and direction in terms of the future plans, etc.
Right, let's lay hands on Pete. We're going to use the microphones, and that's just to be sensitive to some people have got hearing issues, and it's been fed back to us that sometimes in our meetings we don't do a great job when we don't use microphones. So let's just make sure if you're going to pray, just put your hand up and Matt and I will just chuck you a microphone. Okay, let's pray.
Father, I thank you for Pete. Thank you for the wisdom he's brought to the leadership in this church over so many years. And I pray that you would be with him as he goes to Kenya and Kanawegi. I just pray, first and foremost, that you would give him a safe journey. We know what the roads are like in Kenya, and I pray that wouldn't be an issue, that he would arrive safely. We commit him to you. We uphold him to you, our sovereign God. Amen.
Oh, I'm just thinking how Pete was saying it's been a bit of a roller coaster, and I was just thinking how a roller coaster is a pretty good thing for most people. They actually love a roller coaster. It's got to be a bit of excitement and up and down. But also that when you come to the end of the ride, usually you're somewhere where there's something else. There's a next thing. There's another ride to go on to. And well, we do pray for that, whatever's next for these children and these young adults at the home. Lord, Pete particularly, and I guess Sally and a few of the team, love them, have got a connection, a real connection, Lord. And these are precious people. And Lord, we long for them to have the best next steps, Lord, where you are in their lives, where you're leading, where they love you, and above all else, they have this relationship with you. And so we do pray, Lord, that you would give real leading above any, although Pete's brilliant analytically, he can look at things, we pray that you would have your hand on their lives, that you would do amazing things, Lord, that Pete would see those things, and the carers at the home would see these things, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I thank you that this big issue that arose a couple of weeks ago, I thank you, Lord, that Pete's not going in to sort that out on his own. I thank you, Lord, that you've already been doing some work, and we pray, Lord, that you will continue to soften the hearts of those people that have caused the issues, if that is what the problem is. And as I pray, Lord, that Pete will know that it's not him that has to sort it, but you're there already working, and we trust in you for that, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Lord, I just pray for Pete that he will know when to stop in terms of tackling this problem. It may be something that takes longer, and if he's just part of the solution, help him to do the part you're calling him to do, and then to come home content that he's done what you've called him to do, and maybe others will follow on afterwards. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your timing, and your timing's perfect. We thank you for the message that Linda brought this morning that's really spoken to Pete. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, that your timing for the end of this project and the handing it over will be perfect. And thank you, Lord, that we can trust you with the future because you go before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Father, we pray for Jill too. I'm just going to chuck you in the middle with your husband, if that's all right. Lord, we love her so much. We see the hand of God so clearly on this couple. Their compassion, their wisdom, all that they bring. And most of all, that they carry just the life of Jesus in them. We pray for Jill as Pete's away. We pray that you will be like a best friend, a husband, a confidant, a powerful, mighty God. All of those things, all of those characteristics of the God that we love, we speak over Jill for these 10 days. We pray that you would keep them connected as well. We pray that you would guard their marriage, guard their unity, guard their team spirit for the King Jesus, we pray. Father, we pray that Pete will come back and he will give testimony to the goodness of God. And we pray that Jill, as he's out there, will be giving testimony to the goodness of God. Father, would you pour out your blessing on this couple as they love, as they sacrifice, as they serve you. We say bless them back in Jesus' name. Amen.
We love God's word. I'd like you to try and think, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, try and think of any time when someone's given you a scripture or you've come across a scripture and it's meant something to you. So that's hopefully quite easy. It could be this morning, it could be a card you've been given, a verse you learnt when you were young, just anything, just a verse which is special to you for some reason. When I say special, it doesn't have to be, like I say, from years ago. It could be just something you heard today, even this evening, which you just thought, yeah, got it. Okay, so I'll give you kind of 30 seconds to think and then just share it with the person, one or two people next to you. Is that okay? 30 seconds, have a quick think. I think, did anybody, oh no, I won't ask if anybody struggled, that's not helpful. Did anybody find that quite easy to think of something? Yeah, hopefully most of us find it fairly easy to think of a verse or a time. There's something there, and it's because I think now God's word, you use the word literally a lot, but it literally changes lives, doesn't it? You hear it and it changes something. You're going that way and suddenly you're going that way, or you know, you're feeling down and just something happens, and it's so important to us, isn't it? God's word is very real. Okay. What we're looking at tonight, I'm going to warn you now, some of it's Matt's stuff, which we looked at, well, most of the start is Matt's stuff, which we looked at a few weeks ago, but I've chopped a whole load of it out, the boring bits, which I didn't like. No, I've just chopped it out. So if you were here last time, then you don't kind of get the full thing, but if you weren't here before, hopefully you get enough to get an idea. So that's what I've aimed for. So, okay. Yeah, Matt was talking about how this story in, I was thinking about a story in, isn't very often somebody tells you something is new. So Matt told me about story, and being really honest, I nodded my head and I was like, yeah, Matt, that sounds good, you know, and not really taking it in. And then we've kind of practiced it and done it a little bit, and I'm like, oh, this is new. I genuinely haven't really done something quite like this before, and I'm really quite excited about it. It's one of those things, I could be doing this the rest of my life. So hopefully you'll kind of get a bit excited about it, because I do think it's really, really important. And so storying is a really good way of actually learning scripture and sharing scripture together. Last time we went over this story, Jesus calming the storm. And I was thinking, if anybody is feeling, go on, brave enough to have a go at recapping the story. So last time we did it, and so part of storying is you hear the story once, and then actually you kind of go through it thoroughly and have a good think through it. And actually a way of doing that is by feeding the story back. Would anyone feel like they could, like, if you just as I'm saying it, you're thinking, oh, can I remember any of it? Anyone have a go at that story, Jesus calming the storm? Give it a go. Come and give it a go, Mark. That'd be brilliant.
Right, when Jesus had finished teaching the crowd, he got in a boat and they set off to the other side of the lake with some other boats. And while they were going across, Jesus fell asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat, and a storm brewed up. And the storm got worse, and it looked like the boat was going to sink, and the water was coming in, and the disciples were frightened. So they woke up Jesus and said to him, "Don't you care that we're drowning?" And Jesus got up and he said to the wind, "Be still," and to waves, "Be calm." And the wind was still and the waves were calm. And they got to the other side of the lake, and Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they said to each other, "Who is this who tells the wind to be still and the waves to be calm?"
Right. Genuinely, that's kind of 90-95% there. So that is pretty... who's next? No. That's amazing. Okay, but hopefully that does show, and I think Malcolm's got some of this stuff already, but actually it does show that by going through it this way, it helps you to retain stuff. We've got some brilliant, can we have the next slide, some brilliant teaching at church, hopefully you think that. I think we have. We've got some amazing teachers, and we get some amazing teachers come and share with us, and that's not sort of bragging rights, but, you know, it is. God speaks to us really well. But Matt was saying that's not the only way. It's like having a guitar with one string. It's not the only string on the guitar is the teaching. There are other ways that we can learn scripture together and look at scripture together. And storying is one of those ways. Next slide. Okay, one of my favorite things already about storying is the speaker or leader gets to do 20% of the talking and everybody else gets to do 80%. So that for me is a win straight away. And what we do is, I'll tell the story, and then we check for understanding, and we think, have we actually understood it? Have we really captured everything? And then we ask questions to draw out a bit more truth from what's in there. And so that's what we'll be doing this evening. Next one. Okay, this is where I cut out quite a few slides. We did the thing, we got 10 people at the front, if you remember, and talked about people in the whole world, how many people are literate and things like this. And this is to say that nearly two-thirds of people are oral learners. They're illiterate or they prefer to hear story rather than to read. This spoke to me again as I sort of reflect on it. I think, I might be one of those people. I don't read so well. I like reading, but I don't love it. Next one. And then we thought a little bit about the way that Jesus taught. Now, out of almost 200 times that Jesus was asked questions, he only responded with direct answers a few times. All the other times he responded by either asking a question or telling a story or giving a parable. So did Jesus kind of just tell a story and then disappear and that was the end of it? No, Jesus usually would tell a story and then you'd see this bit where people were saying, "Oh, I don't get it. Can you tell me a few things? Tell me a few more bits, Jesus." And there's this brilliant verse on there, Mark 4:34. Jesus, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. So, next slide. Could we learn from oral learners? Yes, I think we can. I'm confident we can. Next one. So we're talking about these three parts. So we're going to tell the story really sort of accurately. Ideally, it's without the Bible. And I was almost there, this passage we're going to look at tonight. I'm kind of 70%, I'd say, to learning it, but not quite. So, but next time I'll get there. We'll ask some questions, and what we'll do, I'm going to ask for a volunteer, so I'll warn you that now, so you can really be concentrating, thinking, can I get this story in my head? And you can come and just retell what you've heard. And to be honest, the plan isn't that you have to get everything right, okay? In fact, it'd probably be bad if you get everything right, because that'd make it a little bit kind of, okay, there's the end. We want to sort of pick out the bits that we miss, the juicy bits. And then we'll ask some questions, and we're going to have a little bit more time this evening than we had last time, hopefully, to kind of draw out a few more of the truths. And at the end of it, what we didn't do here, which we did do at House Group, was we'll think about how does this actually apply to our lives? What's the takeaway from doing this, which is kind of probably the most important bit, I think, actually. How does it change our lives? What's it mean? Okay, hopefully that set the scene. That was just a quick recap of where we're at. So next slide, John. Okay, this is where Matt said, no Bibles, okay? You could put everything away. Okay. So I'm going to read it to you from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 14. And this is after Peter and John, I was thinking about the song, Peter and John went to pray. Don't start, Angela. But they met a lame man on the way. And it's kind of after that, and they're being questioned about who do you think you are, what you're doing. So I'll read to you and see if you can kind of take this in. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Okay, good bit of story, isn't it? I'm wondering who would like to come and be a volunteer, see if you can give it a recap, see if you can pick out most of the story for us. No, not Malcolm, not Malcolm. That would be unfair. Come on. First one, it's always hardest for the first one. Next one, come on. Do you reckon Emily? I was telling you what, I was looking at Rachel hiding there, but I reckon Rachel, Emily. I don't know, but the boss is there. What do you reckon, Matt? Could they chip in with each other? I think it's
the idea is that we help each other, so you fill in the bits that you miss. So nobody first time, sit for a long time.
Yes, quite long.
Maybe now.
Yeah. Come on, Emily and Rachel, come and give it a go together.
Well, you'll have lots of gaps.
The next day.
Great. And there was Annas and Caiaphas, the elders and the priests.
And the teachers.
And the teachers. Oh, I shouldn't have come up here. were there. Yeah, I can't remember the names, but they
were
there.
That was the first
one,
wasn't it?
And...
my mind's gone.
They
back.
Had well, mine has too now. I thought I was listening.
I've
really
actually
hard.
Forgotten the story completely. What's it
they
about?
Brought before them? Peter and John.
Yes.
And they said to them, "What have you been doing here? What's going on?"
Yeah.
So, words to that effect. And they said, "What are you asking us? Are you asking us why we're healing this man? But what power?" And they
yes,
said,
what name is it you're healing by?
By what
power?
Name are you power? And they said, by the name of Jesus Christ.
The man you crucified.
The man, ooh, yes.
Well, Jesus, thank who you crucified. Man, God. Sorry, forget that bit about man and God. That's inserted. Jesus, who you crucified, who is salvation, has come. Just get Malcolm up. Can we stop there? And say, we really, I don't...
Can we do the next one? I'll listen better next time.
I felt I knew it actually, sat there.
I thought I did.
And I was hiding because I knew I wouldn't be able to do it.
Thank you. Give these guys a proper clap because that was. Oh. Okay, that was good. Anybody want to tell us any bits you think they were missing? Any gaps in the story? I'll tell you what, I'll pass this round, then you can have it.
They talked about God being the cornerstone, but there was something else that came before that about a stone or a rock or something. The stone the builders rejected is now the cornerstone. And they said that. And then they couldn't argue with them because the man who'd been healed the day before was standing with them. And they were silent. There was nothing they could say because...
That's good.
Anymore?
Let's get some, give Ali a clap. That's good. Anyone else? From the start? From the beginning.
His relatives.
I think they got Caiaphas, not all the names, did they? But that, I don't blame them, because the names are quite hard. Go on, who was it? What were the names? Annas? Good. I think that was it, wasn't it? Well done. John, were you thinking of a bit they missed?
Well, they saw the man there healed, but they noted that the men had been with Jesus.
Yes, good bit. That is a good spot. I love that bit. That's kind of, leapt out of me a bit. Yeah, well, we'll see. Anything else? Any other bits? Yep. Linda, have the mic, then it goes on the recording forever.
When Peter and John went in, they said, are we being called here because of an act of kindness? They didn't kind of launch straight into their preach.
Yeah, I was trying to figure what that was. Was it sounds a bit sarcastic, doesn't it? Sounds a bit, are we being, just because we're being kind, what's your issue kind of thing? Or is it a kind of, is that where we're being called? But yeah, good spot. Well done. Anyone else? I'll go back to John. You're just trying to make me walk a long way, aren't you?
Well, I think they got the gospel in because they say there's no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved.
Brilliant. The gospel's in. Okay. Yeah. Pretty intentional stuff, isn't it? I think they know exactly what they're doing. Anything else? Come on, Matt. You're not joining in? No. No, that was it. That's okay. Okay. Any more? Give you a bit more time, just have a little think. I think that's probably pretty much it. I'm struggling. Okay. Would anyone like to have another go at recapping? Would anyone feel brave enough to have another go at it? Ali, yeah, Ali was pretty close, wasn't she? Come on, Ali, come and give it a go. You're from the top. And we will help you out. Joe will. Look, Joe was there. Come on, from the top.
There were some men with lots of different names, and Alexander is the only one I can remember, and something being with C. Caiaphas. And there were lots of high priests and teachers and important people. And they were all standing there, and Peter and John came with... I don't know if they came in or whether they were there already. I can't really remember. Were they brought in? Brought before them with the man that they'd healed the day before, and they were questioned about what they had done. How am I doing? And they sort of like weren't sure maybe what they were being questioned about. So are we being questioned by our acts of kindness? And then I'm just a bit stuck. Oh, so they said, in what name did you do this? And they said it was in the name of Jesus, who you crucified, but who was raised from the dead. And he was the stone you rejected, but he is now the cornerstone, and only by him you can be saved. And this, I don't know if they said that they'd healed the man yesterday. He was lame and now he's fine and jumping around and leaping and praising God and into the song. And then the high priests were silent because there was nothing that they could say, because they knew this man who was now all okay. There's another bit I wanted to say. I've forgotten. They noted, that's the one, that he had been with, these men had been with Jesus. So there must have been something really special about it.
That is good. That is good, because it is tough. Like Matt said, it's quite a long chunk of scripture, isn't it, to be looking at. Okay, now you're going to all write it down on your own. You're what we do now, I thought it'd be good, is actually if we kind of go in the twos or threes for a little bit. And I've got a question for you to think about. And I think the question I'm going to ask you is, could you relate to anything in this story? Okay, so I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes. In your little group, twos or threes, is there something that you relate to in the story? When we get back together, I'm going to ask individuals, so I'm not going to ask for your group answer, okay? It's not a kind of this group's right, that group's right, but it's just a way of helping you to be able to say a few things which you sort of think, oh yeah, I get it, I get that. How did God relate to you? Jackie? No, you're not allowed to look it in the Bible, I'm afraid. Sorry. From memory. Go on, Matt. Yep, okay, I'll read it one more time. The next day the rulers, the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Okay, a couple of minutes. What could you relate to in this story? Something you could relate to. Okay, I'm gonna stop you there for a minute. So we've got time for another question. And I guess there's a risk we could be running away into other details. The question was, how does this story relate to you? How does it relate to you? So not cross-referencing loads of things. Just how does it relate to you? Can you relate to it? Anyone? Let's have some answers. Yeah, Joe?
The thing that stood out for me, which was interesting, I don't think any of us picked it up before you reread it, and it was that Peter was full of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, and it then went on to say that they were unschooled, but they'd been with Jesus, I thought, actually, that's encouraging for all of us, isn't it? You know, we don't have to know everything about everything. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, we've got boldness. So that was, I could relate to that.
Yeah, I love it. I was saying that one at the back as well. I love it. It's brilliant, isn't it? Someone else? Some way that it relates to you? Jace?
I picked up on the end, actually, about the physical testimony that there was there. That, how can you disbelieve? Look at this bloke, you know, can walk like... you know, and just knowing that. And yeah, that's what I picked up on.
How would you say that relates to you, particularly how you relate to it?
I guess just how much my life is different through what actually is two verses in the Bible. And I'd like to think I'm different. I know you didn't know how bad I was before, mind. That's one thing. But yeah, just that.
Yeah, it is It's just amazing. It's brilliant. I love the thought. He didn't quite know what to do, because here it is, this person in front of us. Here he is, somebody's been healed. And is that where you kind of get at the fact that actually I'm kind of that person? I am, yeah, brilliant. Okay, anyone else? Come on, it must be. There was more talking than that, definitely. It was a bit noisy. Come on, at the back. Brenda. Oh. John.
We didn't get as far as how it relates to us, but we did talk about the way that Peter and John unschooled answered these guys, and I thought, how well would we give an answer to people in this absolutely pressure situation, to the point of they noted they'd been with Jesus?
Yeah, it's. I'm trying not to go on, but I was thinking as well, how does that, what does that relate to us in that situation? We think, what would we do? But I suppose the question a bit is going on to, how do we apply it? How would we answer it right now? You know, if somebody, when you get that opportunity, what's it look like? How do you answer? Time for one more before I give you another question. God, there must be something that row at the back. Yeah, come on, Jackie.
It's repeating really what's been said, and Brenda came out with it. It was unschooled. They were unschooled. It was noted that they were unschooled. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gave Peter the words and I guess the confidence to be able to stand there knowing what might happen to them, because they were really under a lot of pressure, weren't they, to really run away. But they didn't. They were. Pentecost had happened. They'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're ready to, 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost, so they were really going for it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jesus told them this was going to happen as well, didn't he, back in Luke somewhere. He said, you're going to stand up before kings and all these people. And I wonder what they thought when Jesus said it to them, and whether they looked back at that after this and went, oh, yeah, he did say it.
This is more of an oblique observation. It reminded me a bit of these parliamentary select committees you sometimes see on television, where there's a committee and they haul in a captain of industry to justify his position or what he's done and what have you. And it's really well publicised, and you've got some guys there that are really interrogating and asking some really awkward questions. And so there's a modern day parallel to being sort of scrutinised. So that's just an observation.
Yeah, it's good. I love it. It goes back to that thing again. We chatted a little bit. I don't know if anybody's had it, that moment where afterwards you think, oh, God's spoken through me. That wasn't really me on my own. That was the Holy Spirit has worked through me. Hopefully most of us have had that at some point. I'm not trying to be arrogant. There's definitely been moments where I thought, oh, that was good. That was God. I wouldn't have done that in my own strength. So, yeah. Okay, I'm just conscious of time. I'm going to give you 1 minute to answer this one, because this would be a nice quick one. What does the story tell us about God? Okay, so back in your little groups again. What does the story tell us about God? Nice and quick. Okay, that was a quick one. I did say it would be quick. So have some quick answers from everyone then. Some things it tells us about God. Jill?
He doesn't always use the expected channels. He wasn't using the church leaders. He was using unschooled, ordinary men.
Yeah, yeah. Got the high priest there. It's interesting, isn't it? The high priest and God uses Peter and John. Yeah, okay. Someone else? What it tells us about God, Pete?
About fulfilling that promise that we don't need to be fear when we're brought in front of authorities, because the Spirit will give us the words to say.
Yeah, so God keeps his promises. It seems a simple one, isn't it? But when you see it in truth like that, it's amazing. Yeah, Rachel.
This is a combination, John and I, and some of what we said. God works through signs and wonders. And in terms of how we relate, going back to question one, how much are we looking for God to do signs and wonders in and through us?
Yeah. Good. Acts just raises your confidence a bit, doesn't it? Maybe just a little bit. Whenever I read Acts, I'm thinking, oh, I want some of that. I want to see a bit more. It's a good book. Any more? Yep.
a little bit of both of us here. I think if you step back and you realise that those two guys had healed a guy, so they must have had a lot of faith, sat there and healed somebody, and then God took the Holy Spirit and chucked him in front of the most senior people they could ever be possibly be put in front of to say, and as to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think it's a little frightening, but their faith before that took them to that place. And I guess probably they thought, wait a minute, in the name of Jesus, we've just healed a leper or whatever it was. I'm fairly certain with him in my life, I can talk to these three guys, four guys.
Yeah, so it's similar, isn't it? The power of God is good. I'm sure there's kind of tons of things you could be looking at there. But I'd like to grab kind of one more minute, because we didn't get as far as this last time, and we're not really tonight either. But it's kind of how does it apply to you? What have you got from reading this, not reading it, sharing this passage this evening together? What's God going to do in your lives that's a little bit different that before this evening actually it wasn't happening? What's the takeaway for this week? Have a little think, have a prayer. I'll tell you what, I'll pray while you think about it, because sometimes that just gives you a bit of space. Yeah, Lord, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you that these things that we've shared together, they're not just there so we can say, that's a nice story. That was good. I'm glad that happened to Peter and John. They were good. Lord, it's there because you're alive and you're living in us. Your Holy Spirit is here this evening with us. And we ask, Lord, what would you do? What would you want us to take away from this evening? How would you like your Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives? Where do we, or where can we just be open to you and give you space? Yeah. Amen. Okay, if you want to just turn back into your twos or threes, share together and pray for each other. Pray into that thing, whatever it is. So pray for one another. Does that make some sense? If you're kind of struggling, don't worry, it's fine. You don't have to share something, it's fine. But it'd be good to kind of do it meaningfully, wouldn't it? To say, this is what I think God's saying. And if there's nothing, then actually pray that God will speak to that person through the week. Okay, I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. Okay, if you could be drawing your prayers to a close. I've overrun just a little bit, so we're not gonna have a song. Sally's promised she'll forgive me, but it's all right. So we'll just Malcolm's got some music, and I'll just pray. Good to have Dad here. Let's pray to close. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for one another, the way you've spoken to us this evening, and those takeaway things. We pray that we would hold on to them, Lord, that it wouldn't just be, oh, that's a nice evening, but that we'd take it away and you'd remind us through the week, and maybe next week we could speak to someone and say, yeah, this happened. This is the way that God changed me. Amen. Amen. Thank you.